Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 26th of June, Anno Domini 2010, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're going to bring you news, views, stuff you can... I got to tell you something very exciting first before we start. Last night...
Big event.
My favorite daughter in the entire world... graduated from high school.
Wait a minute, it's your only daughter.
Yes, but luckily for her, she is also my favorite daughter.
That scores two.
About.
What?
That you tell your wife about.
Exactly, that I know about. So I'm very excited, very, very excited. She's a great kid. She did a great, she's in a, dang, you're an adult now, although I'm not going to tell her that. She's not listening. She's getting ready for yet another.
I think
of
she
a
knows
long
that.
Yeah, 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 she does.
I hate to break the news to you.
Yeah, she does. She's a good kid. She did say she did thank her amazing parents last night, so I was very excited about that. She's a great kid.
They there too?
She did great. They were there too. We were there, and they were there, and it was wonderful. It was a great event, and she graduated from School of the Arts, which is a city school which has an 85% graduation rate.
That is unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
In today's standards.
And it would have been higher if some of the kids had not opted to go into the military instead of, or going on to college. And it would have been higher had some of those kids not gone into the military instead of going on to college.
I still think that should count. I mean, that is not doing anybody a disservice. Matter of fact, in some countries, it's required.
Exactly.
Once you graduate from high school, you got to go fulfill a 2-year military obligation. And then after that, then you can go on with the rest of your life.
Right. But she graduated, 85% graduation rate, and I'm very excited about that. They talk about the city schools in a way that is disparaging, but not every city school is like that. She took 3 years of Latin, for God's sake. It's the only reason we can talk to each other. So it was great. It was terrific. All right, but on to the news.
One other thing we've got to definitely add later on. No, you can go ahead and to get folks ready.
Yeah.
Uncle Dave's coming out.
Sometime
between now and two.
All righty then. That'll be
poor Warren.
Danged exciting. All right, we're going to start, however, with our news of the week. If early reports of iPhone problems, for those of you who missed it, the iPhone 4 came out. Don't know if you noticed that, but the iPhone 4 came out. But if early reports of iPhone 4 problems are any indication of what's ahead, the thousands of giddy Apple faithful waiting in line for an iPhone. There could be trouble ahead. Some early iPhone 4 owners are reporting a few minor problems you should be aware of. Once you've stopped drooling over your iPhone 4, you might want to check your device's display for discoloration. Some iPhone 4 owners who received their devices a day or two earlier than expected have complained of yellow discoloration on the iPhone 4's new 960x640 Retina display. The new iPhone 4 has several new features that are supposed to help guard it against everyday wear and tear that most cell phones experience. Apple's latest device features aluminosilicate glass on the back and front that is 30 times stronger and 20 times stiffer than regular plastic. The new device also features a steel band made from Apple's own special alloy that has been forged to be 5 times stronger than regular steel. Apple says this steel band gives the iPhone 4 impressive structural rigidity. So how does this new durability feature hold up under torture? Engadget did their best to scratch the glass and eventually succeeded. The Gadget blog didn't detail how they scratched the device or how long it took them. Engadget did say that you could see incredibly minor scratches if you place the iPhone 4 under bright light and hold it at the right angle, and it's Tuesday and you're facing east. Repair services
on 1 foot.
Provider iFixYourEye tested out the steel band's durability by dropping a fully functioning iPhone 4 directly onto concrete from normal hand-holding height. In iFixYourEye's tests, the iPhone 4 shut down completely after the second direct drop, but the screen didn't crack until the fourth drop. By comparison, during PC World stress test of the iPhone 3G, Apple's second-generation smartphone had a few screen cracks after the first drop, but the iPhone survived a total of 5 drops before the screen was significantly damaged and shut down completely. YouTube seems to be seething with hundreds, if not thousands, of videos showing if you hold the iPhone 4 by the steel band, usually in your left hand, your reception bars start to decrease down to zero. If you take your hand away from the back band, they come right back. Some are claiming this has caused drop calls, while others say nothing happens. Mac Rumors, however, thinks this might be an ongoing issue with the iPhone in general, and not specific to the iPhone 4. To make its point, they found a video showing the same problem with an iPhone 3G, which may explain all these drop calls that we've been seeing all over creation since the day the iPhone came out. Steve Jobs, who, when he was asked, you know, what about this? How, what do you do? He said, just don't hold it in that way. Just don't hold it in that way. Man, if I had a nickel.
Oh, really?
But at any rate, it's like the old vaudeville routine. Doctor, it hurts when I do this. Don't do this. All right. So what our question for you, question of the week, poll of the week, what do you think of the iPhone 4? Your choices are love it. It's okay, no biggie. I could not conceivably care less. Give me my Droid X, baby. And me and Dave Enright, cell phone Luddites.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Forever.
So far, we've got 43 votes. Well over half of you could not conceivably care less. The next highest is me and Dave Enright, cell phone Luddites.
Ooh, we're going to win this one.
Yeah, all the cell phone Luddites, log in and vote. Yes. Don't log in, just go to the site.
Yes, just support our cause.
At soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Of course, you will have a lot more to say, particularly the fanboys who cannot stand anybody saying anything that's not incredibly supportive of any Apple device, even when it's true. So you'll have your opportunity underneath the poll. You will see a little yellow box. If you click on give us your opinion, it will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Where you can enter your opinion. The question is just about the same as the poll. What do you think of the iPhone 4? Keep it clean.
Well, like we were discussing before, you know, what's wrong with repositioning the antenna so it goes along the top?
Well, you're right. And this is my question. Did no one actually make a call with this phone before they sold it? Back, and I get it. It's a design. They're designing it to win awards. I get that. I work in a building that's won multiple architectural awards. It's impossible to live in, but it's won a lot of awards. And awards don't make it a usable item.
And why did they change it from the 3 that was working fine?
Well, they're saying the 3 has the same problem.
Really?
That's what they're saying.
And there are also people have found that some HTC phones have the same issue. Yeah, Apple's official statement, notwithstanding Steve's email remark, their official statement is that all cell phones have this problem, and if you grip them tightly, you will affect the antenna reception, depending on the placement of the antenna.
I couldn't do that on my Droid, but I didn't actually cover the whole thing with my hands because then I couldn't see the bars. But
you could all go back to the antennas you have to pull out.
Right.
And that would work, but we don't like that anymore.
But you don't win design awards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just usable.
Yes.
Yep.
So, at any rate, I get it. It's a great phone, but you would think somebody somewhere would have actually made a call and noticed this beforehand. And all you really had to do was move that little black band, I guess, or the antenna itself, to the top of the phone. Very few people hold the phone by the top.
That'd be, you know, something very unusual for folks to do.
Right.
You know,
now, like I said,
common sense.
Right. Like I said, I can be smug because my Droid is made out of plastic and nothing stops the signal. And no matter where I hold it, it doesn't stop it. I get that. And maybe other people's phones do the same thing. That doesn't make it right. Does Apple just want to be one of the crowd? Shouldn't Apple be better than the average thing? Well, everybody else does it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an excuse to me. It's just not. I'm sorry. I'm not. This is a major error on the part of their designers and testers, frankly.
And I would think it would be a simple fix to readjust. The antennas nowadays, it's not like they're huge things. They're small, very flat, and they could reposition it.
All you got to do is change. Well, changes manufacturing, that costs an insane amount of money. But they're selling like 1,000 a day or 10,000 a day or whatever the heck the number is. So
they took 600,000 pre-orders in one day.
Yeah, exactly. So
$2 million in a week. Two million units in a week.
Right. I feel for them, but I'm sitting.
Yeah. So the next production run, maybe.
Right. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The next product, they ought to re-engineer this so it's fixed.
And then they're going to
The problem is if they do that, then all the people who got the first one are going to scream, you got to fix mine. Yeah. I get that.
There's,
I do.
Well, there's probably going to be a lawsuit if they do.
Well, there's already...
there's already lawsuits.
Already a couple of the left-handed persons association are threatening a discrimination lawsuit.
Nice.
Because if you hold it in your left hand, you block the antennas really bad.
This is the thing. I hold my phone in my offhand because my dominant hand is the one that does all the work on it. Yeah. So I'm always holding my phone in my left hand and using my right hand to
Unless
to
they
do
mean
things.
That it's a right-handed person because they're a lefty and they use their left hand to do... They might be saying it incorrectly.
And maybe. I don't know. But
because,
the point
I mean,
is,
the majority of the folks that I see are all talking with it in their left hand. Because, like you say, that's the dominant hand. And if I got to press any numbers to dial, I'm doing it with my right hand.
Listen, here's my question to you people. My original question is, do you have an iPhone? What are your experiences? Or if you don't have an iPhone, or you just hate the fact that somebody doesn't absolutely love every single thing that drops out of Steve Jobs' brain, give us a call. But instead, I want you to call us if you have any type of smartphone. What hand do you hold it in, and which hand do you use to tap on it with? Do you hold it in your dominant hand? So if you're right-handed, you would be holding it in your right hand. Mm-hmm. Or do you hold it in your off hand, which if you're right-handed, would be in your left hand?
Yep.
Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. And let us know. I don't understand this. Everybody I see seems to hold the phone in their offhand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whether you're left or right-handed.
Right, whichever your offhand is, so that you can use your dominant hand to click it. Please give us a call. Let us know. Just let us know, which hand do you normally hold your cell phone in?
Yeah, lefty or righty.
And if you're the sort of person who keeps your cell phone in a pocket or in a belt pouch, which side you put it on will tell you which hand you normally hold it in.
Mm-hmm. What ear does it go up to?
Exactly.
That's the easiest way to do it.
Well, and the worst part is that although I hold it in my left hand and tap everything up, my right ear is better than my left ear at this point in my life.
Same here.
So I'm doing a lot of switching sometimes. But still, whenever I'm doing something that involves non-phone stuff, mm-hmm. I hold it in my left hand so I can dial the numbers or do whatever it is I'm going to do. Punch the person, you know, I've got shortcuts on my desktop for calling my wife and my daughter, and then I've got a shortcut for the phone thing itself. So, but you would think that you would have.
Maybe because my phone is so small. I just have a regular plain phone that makes phone calls.
Right.
So I hold it in my right hand, and I dial
with my
right
hand. Right, and you dial
with
your thumb. Right. but which hand do you hold your iPod Touch
in?
Yeah,
I've got my iPod, I hold it in my left hand. So
see,
I can
exactly.
Right
so
hand.
For
yeah.
those of you who, and that's essentially a phone without a phone, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the way that sort of thing works. Is nobody caught? Does nobody have any idea which hand they hold their phone in? Come
Evidently,
on,
they haven't figured that out yet.
Yep. But that's I think that's what it is, and I think that people tend to hold it in their offhand, and most people are right-handed, so they hold their phones in their left hands. That just makes sense to me. It's what I see people doing. So I don't know. I think that this is a bad design, unless everybody on Apple's design team is left-handed and didn't notice it. Mm-hmm. But even when you hold it in whichever hand you hold it in, the fingers are curled around the same spot on the other side.
Right.
Nobody holds their phone up in the air by the top like this. Hello, I'm making a phone call.
Maybe what happened after that one phone got lost during testing is they pulled back all the testing engineers.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Our first caller is Chris. Where are you calling from, Chris?
Right in New York. It's Chris Reich.
Hiya, Chris. How are you?
Swell. Listen, I've noticed, because I do a lot of walking, that people are holding their cell phones in their left hand, and I'm sure that that's so that they can both steer and shift with the right hand. Just my
that's
observation.
That's scary. Or I've seen them literally with their hands through the steering wheel.
That too.
And texting. Those folks I get away from.
Listen.
I run the other way.
Mm-hmm. Listen, folks, all of those of you who are listening, if you're going to start texting while you drive or even making phone calls while you drive, I'll put my driving schedule up on my website, and I would appreciate it if you would stay the hell off the roads just for those few times when I'm on the road.
You ready for this one?
Uh-oh.
Going down Culver Road.
Yeah.
And I'm on the trike.
Oh, you told me this story. I love this story.
And going down, for the other folks that haven't heard this, I'm going down the street, going down Culver Road.
Now, when Dave says he has a trike, I don't want you to think of like a little plastic pink.
This with the ribbons from the handles.
Exactly.
Well, he does have those.
He does have those. It's not what we're talking about on the road. He's got a Harley that's a three-wheeler.
Yeah. So I was going down Culver Road, and I had to go up to university to make a turn. Well, as we're getting past East Ave, this young lady is sort of swerving.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to get by her, and I notice she's on the cell phone. Luckily, her window was open. And I have not a regular horn on my trike. I have air horns.
Nice.
And I let her have them.
Good for you.
And she, all of a sudden, you just see this phone go flying up in the air, and I just turned to her and politely said, get off the GD phone.
So you startle her. She drops the phone, and while she's bending over, fumbling for it, has an accident.
No. She did a death grip on that steering wheel, looked straight ahead, and would not make eye contact with me. But she literally forced me, just about forced me over a double yellow line in oncoming traffic because she's sitting there texting. No!
Yep.
I used to walk a great deal through 12 corners during the daytime during school days.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not kidding, about 40% of the people going through on whatever type of motor vehicle are on their cell phone as they're going through 12 corners and making turns.
Yeah, I spent much of yesterday watching people on their phones in the Saunders College of Business, and almost, I'd say 95% of them hold it in their left hand. Got to take a break. Thanks,
people,
Chris.
Stop that.
You got it. Stop it. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 20 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Tom Pethick. Please join me every Monday evening from 6 to 9 as we take a journey into jazz. We'll hear music from homegrown jazz musicians such as vibist Joe Locke and the late legendary saxophonist Joe Romano. And of course, we'll hear music from today's new artists. That's Monday evenings from 6 to 9, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra, presenting Red, White, and Boom, featuring the Marcus Roberts Trio, Saturday, July 3rd at the Constellation Brands Marvin Sands Performing Arts Center. There'll be fireworks after the concert. For more information, you may call 454-2100 or look online at rpo.org.
At the American Lung Association, we're fighting for a day when we can all breathe easier. We're fighting for clear skies over every city and healthy lungs throughout the country. We're fighting to free millions of Americans from the addictive grip of tobacco and the devastating effects of lung disease. The American Lung Association isn't just fighting for air. We're fighting for all the things that make it worth breathing, and we can use your help. See what you can do at fightingforair.org.
When I was a kid, when I was listening to the radio all the time, it was like a portal to the world for me. You know, I grew up in a small town in Georgia, and, you know, it's like a connection to the outside world, you know, was a special thing.
New artist Tim Brantley loves radio because it connects every day. Radio, always on, always free, always something new. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy, with locations in Brockport, Chilai, Gates, and Webster. Agape Physical Therapy offers customized exercise programs for those who suffer with arthritis, back, knee, and neck pain. Each of Agape Physical Therapy's four locations stresses a group approach to treatment and is staffed with a doctor of physical therapy or a McKenzie specialist to ensure the most effective therapy. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Hi, this is Sid O'Connor. Join me Sunday mornings from 7 until noon right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free, 1-800-790-0415, just like Debbie did. Debbie, where are you calling from? Debbie?
Yes, Webster.
Webster. And how are things?
Oh, great.
They got vandalized.
They did?
Yeah, up on the expressway that you go across the bridge there, you know, the shrubberies that spell out Webster?
Shrubbery.
Yep.
Somebody hacked it all up.
Oh.
It was on the news, and the W and part of the vandals literally destroyed that shrubbery that spelt out Webster.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
True. That is sad. It's very sad. So what's your question, Debbie?
Well, I have a problem with iTunes.
Uh-huh.
My Sukunia told me my iTunes was vulnerable and I should update it. So I went to update it, and when I did, it came back and said, the older version of Bonjour cannot be removed. Contact your technical support. So I tried to uninstall iTunes. It would not let me. It came back and said that I didn't have iTunes.msi. And then I tried to uninstall Bonjour, and it came back and said I didn't have Bonjour MSI, which I searched the computer for both and didn't find them. So I went to the web and looked around and found where you could remove Bonjour. I went through the steps, start, run, and typed in this thing, and then start, run again, typed in another thing, rebooted, and deleted the file. I still have Bonjour. I still have iTunes. It still tells me that the older version cannot be deleted.
How about, have you, this on a PC or a Mac?
PC.
Have you tried
Revo installers?
Yeah.
Revo,
I tried Revo first,
mm-hmm.
and I went to uninstall iTunes. When I got to the part where it goes to the, I guess, your registry,
mm-hmm.
I had 7,700 and some items to check,
mm-hmm.
and I would have had to check most of them manually.
No, usually you can say select all.
Yeah, but there were some things I didn't want selected because they weren't darkened.
If they're not dark, you can't select them. So if you said select all, they wouldn't be selected.
Huh. Okay, because I thought when you selected all, it selected everything that was on the screen.
Mm-hmm. In any case, it's also
selectable. I tried that with Bonjour.
Yeah.
I tried Revo, and I went through the whole thing. And it didn't uninstall it. And I got that same thing about the Bonjour not being able to, that I couldn't get rid of the older version.
So what my recommendation would be is to go to Apple and download Bonjour and download iTunes.
I did that.
And
I tried to install them. It won't let me.
And you get that same error message.
Yes.
And when you run the uninstall, what happens?
The uninstall, it comes back and says, the path, C, document, whatever, debbie/locals/temp/ixp506.tmp/bonjour.msi or iTunes, depending on which one you're trying to uninstall, cannot be found. Verify that you have access to this location. Try again, or try to find the installation package Bonjour MSI in a folder from which you can install the product Bonjour.
Yeah, it shouldn't be looking in a temp folder. It should be looking in your system directories. So it's not running
hacked
from the right place.
Well,
have you run malware bytes and super anti spyware?
Yes, last Sunday, right when this started.
Sounds like something else has crawled in there that's trying to block things.
There are some uninstallers that we're finding to remove Bonjour and remove iTunes.
Yeah, I just assume to get rid of them because I don't use them anymore.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's one called Turn Off Bonjour, and there's apparently a better one called Au Revoir Bonjour. Say au revoir, but not goodbye. La, da, da, da.
Okay.
And Steve's going to put up a link to that.
Okay.
Because that's a lot easier than me trying to give you this URL.
Okay.
So Steve will be doing that, and it's called Au Revoir Bonjour, and I would like to apologize to all my friends who speak even a language somewhere near French, because I clearly do not. I am an American, and therefore all we do is shout louder until you get it. We don't learn foreign languages.
By the way, I hold my cell phone in my left hand.
There we go. I was going to ask you.
Because my right ear is half deaf.
Yeah. All right. A left-handed phone holder. Thank
There's
you, Debbie.
One lefty. Thank you.
I think we're all lefties, aren't we? Aren't we?
No.
Do you hold your phone in your right hand?
My phone, yeah, but not my iPod.
Well, you...
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it. We can't ask Dave. Dave's a Luddite. Dave barely has a phone at all. All right, our next caller is Tom. Where are you calling from, Tom?
Penfield.
And are you left or right-handed when you hold your phone?
I am left-handed at the moment.
See? See? And what kind of phone do you have?
I'm holding the phone with my left.
See? That's exactly how it works. And what kind of phone do you have?
That's just a portable AT&T.
See, even though he doesn't have a smartphone, he still holds it.
He's a Luddite.
He's a Luddite, like you are. All right, what's your question, Tom?
Okay, starting yesterday morning, upon boot up, I'm getting an error message that I've never seen before, and I have no idea how to get rid of. But let me go one step further. I can get by that error message.
No, stop. We're going to only a step and a half. You have to tell us what the error message is.
Okay, error message is sprtcmd.exe. And after that, there's a dash, and it says .NET framework initialization error. And then there's some more information within the box. I don't know if you need that.
Is that an HP?
No, it's a Dell.
We're looking to see what...
Yeah.
That's the Dell Support Commander or something or other program.
What's happening is it's not allowing me to open Quicken. Other than that, everything is working normally. Now when I try to open Quicken, which I do on a daily basis, I get yet a different error message, and that's never happened prior to getting this initial error message. So I'm guessing they're tied, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's part of the background help support system that comes with Dell's to let their tech support people access your computer.
Okay. And it's interesting because it's coming up upon boot up.
Right, it's trying to run this program, so in case you ever call Dell tech support, they can connect to your computer and do things.
Go in and uninstall it.
I can uninstall that?
Well, now, hold on. If that's not coming up or at all, or...
Well, okay, this error message, again, comes up every time I boot.
Right.
And then it goes away if you click the OK box.
Right.
And then you're allowed to go to any of your applications.
Right.
And all of them run except Quicken.
One suggestion there, here, Tom?
Yeah.
Is if you go into msconfig... Because that's one of the items that's being automatically started up.
Right.
You can go into the startup tab and look for that Dell reference and just uncheck it.
You can also remove the Dell Support Center from the from Add Remove programs.
Yeah.
But, and that will theoretically stop that error message.
But if he doesn't have it initially started startup by just going into msconfig and
unsaying,
that way, in case he needs it, you know. God help you if you have to call 1-800.
Well, it's not running anyway.
1-800. I don't speak English. And
yeah, right.
Infamous.
Yeah, I've been there.
But here's the thing. I'm wondering why it doesn't work. How old is this machine?
Oh, 3-4 months.
All right. Have you danced the security tango?
Not this week.
Have you danced it since you started getting the error message?
Yes. Oh no. I'm sorry. Not since I've got the error message. No.
Then you should.
Okay.
It well may be that something is blocking it from happening. That's the thing I would do first.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Dance the tango, and yes, it takes forever. Get over it. Dance the tango, and then if it's still there, I would uninstall it. You know, and if you ever do have to call Dell, then you explain to them, look, your software died.
They don't use that anyways. They sit there and read out of a cookbook and ask you 16 million questions, and their famous answer is, well, I think you need to reformat your machine.
We've heard some pretty bad stories about tech support people breaking into one of our customers' computers and running up her credit card.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I don't need that. What is it exactly that I would uninstall? What would I file? Is it in us?
You'll see it.
It's the Dell Support Center.
You'll see it in there as add remove programs.
Okay.
Yep.
And then when you try to launch Quicken, what happens there?
Okay, then I get a different error message, and I'll tell you what that is in just a second here. Oh, I can't tell it. Yes, I can. I need a note here someplace. Hold for just 1 second. That's not it. It says, Quicken Launcher. Quicken Launcher has stopped working. Windows can check online for a solution to the problem. And then you got two choices, either check online for a solution and close the program, or close the program. I've tried doing check online for solution and close the program, and nothing happens.
Yeah, again, let me suggest that you start with the Security Tango.
Okay.
Particularly when you're talking about Quicken, you don't want to take any chances. So start with the Security Tango and go from there. And if that doesn't, well, start from there and let us know what happens.
Okay, I will.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Because depending on what happens after that, there's too many things to just say and then try. Because you don't know what should be tried next until you know what the result of the tango is. So that's, in general, we try to get people to run the tango before they do a whole lot of other stuff. All right, our next caller is Gil. What's your where are you calling from, Gil?
From Webster, where life is worth living.
I have heard that and I believe it. And what can we do for you today?
And we shun those folks that trim the hedges for us.
Wasn't that something? I mean, boy, not to get caught, too. I mean, they did some serious damage.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, well, I am holding my phone with my left hand.
There you go.
But the question I'd really be interested in hearing answered is, so are you over some moderate age? And if the answer is yes, then which ear are you deaf in? And then the prediction would be that if it's your left ear, then you're right-handed. I've noticed an awful lot of people that are right-handed have deafness in mostly in their left ear.
No kidding.
Vice versa.
That's right.
Well, you just had a caller on previously who said, and I'm deaf in my, you know, corresponding ear. She was left-handed and, you know, would be correspondingly deaf in her right ear, I think. But
interesting.
I think the other comment would be that for
You're some sort of physician, aren't you, Gil?
No, I'm not.
Wow.
I was a scientist in a former life.
There you go.
There you go. But so the other thing I have noticed is that, you know, when for me at least, I'm pretty ambidextrous, but it's more which ear I'm used to listening in, not which hand I'm used to holding things in, which is kind of interesting, but just a side point.
That's a good point.
So I did have a question.
Uh-oh.
After all the smoke clears and the ears settle to the ground.
What's your question?
My question was, do you have any anecdotal experience? I tend to do a lot of computation that's fairly, you know, computationally intensive, let's say. And I currently have a Core 2 Duo machine that I run my computations on. And I'm curious whether you have anecdotal experience on the i7.
It's a great machine.
Load
it with memory, you know, get 8 gigs. Windows 7 XP Pro, 64-bit.
But what you're really asking is, in terms of computational intensiveness,
right,
is it better or worse?
Well, I notice, I mean, should I spend the extra? I upgrade my machines periodically, whether they need it or not. But
all right,
it's more a question of when I do my next upgrade, should I spend the extra $200-$300 to go for an i7, or do I just, kind of clean up the old machine and go for another few years?
Hold off until the fall.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, right now, I mean, things are so stagnant, I think you're going to see some major price breaks by this coming Christmas, you know, in this fall.
Yeah, there's a lot of deals around go back to school time. And the closer we get to go back to school time, more desperate they get and the lower the price.
And I still love that Staples commercial. I mean, nothing, you know, not to plug Staples or anything else, but I love that one where the parents, the kids are just standing there long-faced and the parent is going by on the cart, happy as all get out because the kids are going back to school.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, that's a good question. I do not, Gil. I don't know that any of us do, but hopefully one of our listeners will call in or somebody on the IRC chat or whatever will have had some experience. But that's it. You can't really go wrong with one. They are. It depends, however, on the software you use. If you're using Wolfram or one of those.
Ram, yes.
Yeah. I would check with their website and see if they have a version specific to the i7, right? Something that takes advantage, because it'll be faster, certainly, but that doesn't mean faster enough. I mean, it's just a faster chip. You could put, it's like, you know, you put a bigger engine, the car goes faster, but that doesn't mean it's tuned, right? So if you can find a version that's tuned to the i7 chip, or if they have a version that's tuned to another chip, that may be faster than the i7 chip.
It's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought to look that up.
Yeah.
Well, keep up the good work, guys. Thank you very much.
And you too, Gil.
And change ears every once in a while.
Yeah, I will. Thanks. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Businesses benefit from underwriting Jazz 90.1. Not only do you reach about 20,000 listeners a week, that includes listeners who only listen to jazz. In addition to being beneficial, underwriting Jazz 90.1 is very affordable. To find out how your business can benefit from underwriting Jazz 90.1, call 966-2660. That's 966-2660.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Folks, we're here in the supermarket to witness Mary Atwood breaking the frozen barrier. She's heading to the frozen fruit aisle. Mary has broken the frozen barrier. Now her cart is filled with items like antioxidant-rich wild blueberries. Hey, Mary, why all the frozen fruit and veggies?
Because they're easy, affordable, and nutritious.
Frozen, fresh, canned, dried, and 100% juice. Learn more at fruitsandveggiesmorematters.org. A message from Produce for Better Health Foundation.
Hi, I'm Phil Dodd, and I think you'll like the mix of music I play every weekday afternoon. I play today's best artists as well as the classic performers who made jazz America's own special art form. I also feature the standards, songs that have stood the test of time and are constantly being reinvented by jazz musicians. So please join me, Phil Dodd, noon to 3, Monday through Friday, right here on Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Greg Lefebvre. Join me every Sunday night at 7 o'clock for Doc's Juke Joint on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
At 42 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
I'm going to put in a shameless plug.
Uh-oh.
Since Phil was putting in a plug and all that. July 8th, if you folks are not doing anything, that's a Thursday night from 6 to 9, I ask you to please tune in. Rob's let me go back on the air.
That's a mistake.
So that means I get to get turned loose into this great jazz library that we have. And I'm looking for folks to call me or even email me at dave@jazz901.org. And I want all upbeat stuff. I'm really looking to do my show a little bit different because I do have some liberties there. So, you know, if you think about it, put down on your calendar July 8th. I will be on the air from 6 to 9.
Nice. Before we get back to the phones, I'm going to read a little bit more about another news item here. Now, before I read this next news item, I want to stress something to you. Please pay attention. I am not a lawyer. I don't even play one on television anymore. Is that clear? Okay. Now, Viacom's $1 billion copyright infringement lawsuit against Google's video sharing site YouTube has been dismissed by the court, ending for now an acrimonious legal battle between the companies that has been going on for more than 3 years. Judge Louis L. Stanton, God bless him, of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York granted Google's motion for summary judgment on Wednesday. Viacom hit Google in March 2007 with a $1 billion lawsuit over what it described as widespread and willful infringement of Viacom's movies, TV shows, and other content on YouTube. Google, which had bought YouTube in October 2006 for $1.65 billion, defended itself by arguing that YouTube complies with the requirements of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the DMCA, to remove infringing material upon owners' requests. But here's where it gets ugly, and my favorite part of this. For years, Viacom has been uploading stuff to YouTube themselves. They've used false names, fake email addresses, and uploaded from non-Viacom IP addresses. They've even roughed up the videos to make them look like they were pirated. In addition, they also uploaded thousands of more legitimate-looking videos. In fact, their uploading tactics got so convoluted that apparently Viacom themselves didn't know who was uploading what. At one point, Viacom sent a takedown notice for over 100,000 videos to Google. They were all taken down by the next day. Viacom then had to sheepishly ask that a bunch of them go back up. And that apparently happened more than once.
Surprise, surprise.
Given all of that, there's no reasonable way Google could have known which infringing videos Viacom wanted taken down and which infringing videos Viacom wanted left up. And George Louis L. Stanton, God bless him, recognized that. So for now, Google is officially in the DMCA's safe harbor, which means they're not responsible for content. It's like the phone company. You can't sue them for obscene phone calls. They don't make the calls, usually. They just provide the means by which the calls get made. And so they're just a common carrier. Of course, Viacom will appeal. This is America. It's what we do. My only hope is that judges up the line have the same grain of common sense that Judge Louis L. Stanton, God bless him, has. Good luck on this one, Google, from the state of our judicial system today. Something tells me you're going to need it. What do you think about this? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. That was wrong, just like Joel did. Joel, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Pittsford.
And what is your question?
Wait a minute, okay, well, no, wait a minute.
Left on the iPhone 4.
Yeah, left or right-handed?
I am left-handed. I use it in my left hand, but I don't cause the problem with my left hand. I got the iPhone 4 on Wednesday, one day ahead of the stores, via FedEx, and I've not had any problems with it. But I went to the Engadget website, and they showed how the problem can be reproduced. And it turns out that there are two antennas that have a little spacer on the left-hand side. And
yep.
If you hold the phone so that your palm is crossing those two antennas,
right,
it will cause the problem. Fortunately, I noticed that I hold the phone in my left hand, but I hold it down a little further so my palm doesn't bridge those antennas. But I was able to reproduce the problem by sliding the phone up in my hand so that I bridge those antennas, and you can watch the bars drop. And if you then slide the phone back down so there's nothing bridging those antennas, it comes right back up. Overall, not being aware of that problem, I've been delighted with the iPhone 4.
It's a heck of a device. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying that this is a terribly, terribly bad engineering move.
I absolutely agree. I mean, it's stupid because all they would have had to do is put a little bit of non-conducting plastic over that.
Exactly.
and it would be a problem. But I just wanted to let people know that it actually is a fairly simple solution. I was doing it inadvertently. By the way, when I after I dial a call, I then put it in my right hand and put it up to my right ear. So I've never seen the problem in use.
There you go. Thank
okay,
you, Joel.
Guys, thank you for a great show.
Thank you. So and there you have it. It is a simple solution, but it shouldn't. I just think it's a terribly bad design decision to put the onus of fixing the problem on each and every user.
Yeah, it's not the phone's problem. It's the person. Everybody.
Right. It's like Steve Jobs said, just don't hold it in that way. Well, that's stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's stupid.
Why should you have to sit there and worry about which way you hold it?
It's just one more Apple thing. Don't use it the way you want to use it. Use it the way we want you to use it. Well, excuse me, but how I hold
Hello?
My phone...
Wait a minute. Who paid for the phone? Well, and who's paying for the plan?
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. No, it doesn't.
Well, they can vote with their dollars.
And they won't. Apple people are Apple people, and they will defend to the death Apple's right to make a phone that's crapped up in some way.
They will come to my side.
That's right. That's right. Come to the dark side. We have cookies.
Rum balls.
We have rum balls. Stay in the light. We have rum balls. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. It's not right. I don't care what you say. It's just not right. And I get it. It's I understand that. I really do. But it's just not right. All right, I'm going to read another news item if I got time for that.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, talking about rum balls.
Yeah.
And a gimmick for this coming fall fundraiser.
Yeah?
Maybe we'll offer the rum ball recipe that I don't give out too often.
Nice.
To folks that do pledge this fall.
Pledge a decent amount. We're mm-hmm. not going to oh, yeah. not gonna give it out for
oh,
those
yeah.
I
mean, this is a secretly guarded recipe that
exactly.
You know, I haven't had any complaints on folks that have gotten them yet. Matter of fact, out there in Omaha, they were still waving their mouths because they were well-aged yep. by the time they received
it. Yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. All right, here's the next news item. We're going to move away from the iPhone and talk about the Droid X. After weeks of rumors and anticipation, Verizon's next-gen Droid phone is finally here. Well, almost. Verizon officially unveiled the Motorola Droid X, and I believe it is X, not 10. At immediate, what?
I thought it was going to be the Droid 2.
That's a different phone.
Isn't this wonderful?
Yes.
Special.
At a media event, it was unveiled at a media event in New York on Wednesday. The phone will be available starting July 15th for $200 with a two-year contract. Most of the specs are exactly what we anticipated. The Droid X is a 4.3-inch screen on a 1 gigahertz processor. It comes with 8 gig of onboard memory, a 16 gig micro SD card upgradable to 32 gig. It has an 8-megapixel camera, 720p HD video capture, and an HDMI out port. And it has the ability to serve as a 5-device Wi-Fi hotspot if you want to pay an extra $20 a month. Of course, you can still technically achieve single-device Android tethering for free if you know how. Droid X-specifics aside, of course, Verizon's event held a couple of noteworthy surprises about Android on a broader level. The first one is Android 2.2 is coming, but it'll be later this summer. Verizon's Droid X launch provided us with new clues about the timing of Google's new Android release, Android 2.2, a.k.a. Frozen Yogurt, a.k.a. Froyo. The Droid X itself is shipping with Android 2.1, but the phone will receive the Android 2.2 upgrade in the, and I quote, latter half of the summer. Execs also revealed that the original Motorola Droid would receive the update around the same late summer date. Thank you. No reason for the delay, I expect. It's due to glitches being ironed out. Personally, I'd rather have it right than on time. The second big thing is that Android use is exploding even more than people realized. According to Google's Andy Rubin, 160,000 Android devices are now being activated every day. Wow. 160,000 a day. Talk about growth. Just last month at Google's I/O conference, the company's per day activations were at 100,000. When you consider that the first Android devices launched less than 2 years ago, the leap is even more mind-boggling. If that same pace were to continue, in all likelihood, it's only going to pick up once the Droid X is released, we'll be looking at more than 1 million new Android devices being activated every week. That had come to nearly 60 million new Android devices powering up every year. for some perspective at Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, for some perspective on this, at Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference earlier this year, Steve Jobs said his company was about to surpass 100 million iOS-based devices sold worldwide. That includes iPhones, iPod Touches, and iPads. And that's after 3 years. So our question is, drooling for a droid? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. I must say I love my droid. I love what I can do with it. I love all the features of it. I know that all you iPhone people start calling up now and telling me that you've got all the same or better. I get it. I'm not. You know, you don't have to lose for me to win. I like my droid, and I know you like your iPhone. I get it. But I do love my droid. It does everything I need it to do, lots of cool things. I did discover one very cool thing, though. I have a friend who's got a droid, and his GPS was off. I said, where are you, first? And he said, I'm just passing the PGA, the LPGA. And I said, well, I'll guarantee you when you get out of range of the LPGA, your phone will work correctly again. Because right now, that's probably the most radioactive in terms of active radio signals spot in Western New York. Right? This was yesterday during
a
match.
Yeah,
exactly.
A glow.
Exactly. So, you know, there's more radio signals coming out of there than any place else.
I haven't even seen the Goodyear blimp over it yet.
Right. And indeed, when he got out of range, everything was fine again. But for a while, his GPS was 100 feet or a half a mile or something, he said. I forget which. Off. And normally it's good within 10 feet. But I did look it up because some people have had GPS problems.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how you fix it. And I just love this.
Oh, boy.
What you do is you turn on your GPS. You go somewhere where there's no magnetic stuff around, and preferably outside so it can find some satellites, which makes sense.
In the backyard.
Right. And you spin it three times on each of the three axes. So on its back, on its side, and on its top.
To make it dizzy?
To recalibrate to the
gyroscope
to the satellites that it finds. And apparently that works, and it's now accurate within 10 feet again.
So
it's hysterically funny. I don't know.
So you got to spin it like on the count.
Well, I've been also reading that this is not just the droid; it's any GPS device. If they lose their orientation, I guess you can reorient them by doing this. It's not just the droid.
So is this a problem solver for other folks that get disoriented?
Go outside, I suspect spin. It would work. There's a GPS in the iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I suspect it would work for the iPhones. I suspect it would work for Garmins and
TomToms
and everything else.
I'm just saying normal people.
And for normal people, I just...
Spinning out in the backyard?
I go out and spin in the backyard. So
I read something interesting the other day about the Wi-Fi GPS assistance modes that a lot of devices have now, where your GPS position is coordinated by your Wi-Fi hotspots. And that's one of the things that the Google Street View cars have been doing, is tracking all these Wi-Fi hotspots. There was a question in one of the things I was reading where their company had moved, and they'd moved down the road a couple of miles. And now all of their GPS devices, they're non-GPS, but GPS assist devices, still think they're at the old location because their Wi-Fi hotspot has moved.
Right.
And it hasn't been
recalibrated
right. yet, yeah. So apparently they found a spot at Skyhook, which is the company that provides most of this Wi-Fi geolocation, where you can update your record so you can figure out where you really are.
That's good. Archandra on the IRC chat is saying he guesses that it's not just any GPS device, but accelerometer-assisted GPSs. And that's certainly a possibility. You confuse the accelerometer and it has to recalibrate. And I love the idea. Just the idea of sitting out in the backyard, spinning my phone around on three axes,
and the neighbors going,
watching it throw up, and
the
then walk
heck
funny.
What is he doing out there now?
It's like those videos you see online of people who put their head on a broom and walk around it a bunch of times, and then try to walk. Yeah. It's like that. And I'm just cruel enough to want to see my droid staggering around, unhappy for a while,
going loopy.
And I tested mine today while I was driving here. I just let it, you know, I said find my location and let it do that while I was driving. Mm-hmm. It got me here. It figured out exactly where it was. I knew I was on the road, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine. So mine at least
did it find the shortest route, though? I mean, sometimes...
No, I wasn't having it direct me. I was having it just... just follow me while I was driving to see where I am, not where I should be going.
Okay.
And it was actually pretty cool. It showed the map and it showed me when I was going west and when I was going north and everything. It was very, very cool, actually.
I actually had to take a trip to a new customer in Ithaca a couple of weeks ago and used a real GPS. And it was so much better than these fake GPS Wi-Fi assisted things.
You know, I'll tell you what, I've got a real GPS built into my Droid and it works off Google Maps. We got to Rockford, Illinois and back. Just got in the car. Now, we did, just in case, because I'd never used it before, we did go to AAA and we got the maps and we did all of that stuff. But we never actually cracked them open in terms of maps. Obviously, we looked at places of interest and all of that stuff. But in terms of maps, we didn't even bother with them. The Droid got us everywhere we wanted to go just by saying, this is where I want to be. Get me there. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We are the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Tom Castronova. Please allow me to refresh your memory. It used to be on Mondays from 6 to 9 when I started on this station. Then I moved to Tuesdays and did this thing called Tuesdays with the Two Toms, and we featured Louis Armstrong music. Then I moved back to Monday from 6 to 9. Now I'm back on Tuesday. You got all that? So please, join me Tuesdays from 6 to 9 p.m. right here on member-supported Jazz Radio in Rochester, Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Many adults suffer from arthritis. This condition can make toothbrushing a challenge. Fortunately, there are ways to modify your toothbrush to make brushing easier. One option is a power toothbrush, which may be easier and more effective for you. If you use a manual toothbrush, try adapting it by enlarging the handle with a rubber ball or a bicycle handle, which will make the toothbrush easier to grip. You can also lengthen the handle with a ruler or wooden tongue depressor. Remember to use a soft bristle brush and to replace your toothbrush every 3 to 4 months, or sooner if the bristles are worn. If you have any questions about which toothbrush is best for you, ask your dentist. You're never too old for a healthy and young-looking smile. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez Howell. For more information, visit our website at ada.org.
Right now, America is being counted in the 2010 census. When a census taker comes to your door, they will ask you the 10 easy questions that appear on the 2010 census form. By answering the questions, your residents will be counted, and you'll be helping your community get its fair share of $400 billion in federal funds. Your participation in the 2010 census is vital and required by law. For more information, visit 2010census.gov.
This is your Car Care Minute. Drivers are keeping their vehicles longer these days and will eventually need the services of a reliable auto repair shop. With that in mind, here's some tips on how to choose one wisely. Start shopping for a repair facility before you need one. Ask your friends and associates for their recommendations. Don't choose a shop based solely on location. Look for a neat, well-organized facility. The staff should be courteous, and the service technician or consultant should be willing to answer your questions. Look for evidence of certified technicians, such as the ASE sign. And when you do select your facility, reward good service with repeat business and customer loyalty. Your Car Care Minute is a public service by this station and the National Institute for Automotive Service Excellence, ASE.com.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into our second hour of Sound Bites for this week.
Realize this coming week is 4th of July?
4th of July. How exciting is that? We're here next Saturday, though.
Yes. But, man, the year is going by. I mean, it's almost half over with.
Days are getting shorter.
Yep. Yep. As of, what was it?
Saturday.
21st.
Wednesday, the 21st?
Yeah, 21st is the first day of summer. That's when the days start getting shorter.
5 days ago, last Monday, whatever.
Of course, the big, I haven't found it yet. We were watching some old.
Can't be that big.
I know. We were watching some old Doctor Who episodes, catching up, and got to the episode where they were stuck on the spaceship with the Weeping Angels.
Sure.
And the Doctor found out that the explosion that causes time to end happens 26 June 2010. Today.
That's today.
The day of Amy's wedding.
Right.
But that's in Britain.
So it's already happened.
Maybe not, because it airs at night in Britain.
Right.
So we won't get it here on BBC America for a few weeks.
Right.
So if anyone's listening from England...
Don't tell us.
Don't tell us.
Exactly.
The explosion that causes time to end happened on Amy's wedding day.
They found the Hubble telescope in going across and taking all the pictures, found a dust cloud in space, and that's not unusual. It looks just like the crack on Doctor Who. And tell you, it looks just like it. It is astonishingly. A chill goes up your back. If you're a Whovian, a chill actually goes up your back when you see this thing.
Silence Will Fall is the trailer.
Yeah. All right, here it is. Android smartphone users can now place calls. Yes, I'm talking about Android again. Get over it. Android smartphone users can now place calls to their contacts around the world absolutely free thanks to an updated app from a company called Rebtel. Based in Sweden, Rebtel, which claims to be the world's largest independent mobile VoIP, voice over IP provider, may not be familiar to many users, but this app may change that. When you think of VoIP service on smartphones, names like Skype, Google Voice, or even Vonage pop to mind. All three offer clients for smartphones, including Android smartphones, but Rebtel has a unique approach that changes the game some. Skype is recognized as a leader in VoIP. However, Skype requires calls to be made over Wi-Fi rather than 3G connections on the iPhone, or it requires a fixed broadband connection for the PC client. Skype does allow free Skype-to-Skype calls on Android phones with Verizon Wireless, but only with an expensive Verizon calling plan. Contrast that with Rebtel. According to the Rebtel press release, Rebtel works with any phone, landline, feature phone, cell phone, for just the cheap price of a local call or now free with the Rebtel Android app. The Rebtel app runs in the background of the default Android dialing pad and seamlessly intercepts calls intended for international long-distance recipients. The calls are automatically converted to a local number and routed via Rebtel's VoIP network. Android-to-Android calls are completely free other than the minute used ticking off on the calling plan. And calls to other phones result in a savings of 90% off standard long-distance rates. Juniper Research forecasts there will be more than 100 million mobile VoIP users within 2 years. Rebtel is squarely in the middle of a second wave of mobile VoIP growth, joining the likes of Skype and Google Voice in terms of growth pace. Over the last 5 years, we've made international calling as close to free as possible from any phone, said Andreas Bergstrom, CEO of Rebtel in the Rebtel for Android press release. The new Rebtel Android app marks our next phase of innovation, coupled with a keen sense of expanding our presence in the U.S. and blah, blah, blah. Mobile VoIP, like its broadband predecessor, has the potential to drastically cut the cost of voice communications. As 4G networks emerge and evolve, voice may be treated as simply another IP packet, erasing the distinction between voice minutes and data bandwidth. In the meantime, apps like Rebtel for Android 1.1 provide smartphone users with a tool to utilize VoIP over existing cellular networks. Are you interested in free VoIP, using VoIP now? What do you think? Give us a call, only if we can actually hear you. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or of course, toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Of course, you can still do that with Skype right now. Of course, Skype, though, from your mobile phone.
Not the same way, because you can't make it over the cellular network. It has to be over Wi-Fi.
And Skype has announced that they're going to have to start charging to do Skype over cell.
Cell. Right. Yeah.
Did you hear about the another way that AT&T is screwing users?
Oh, good.
The AT&T microcell. A lot of businesses have put their own little cell tower. It's a little tiny cell tower for your business if you have bad cell reception in your business.
Right.
So this cell tower does VoIP. So it takes the cell signal and puts it on the internet to complete your call.
Makes sense.
It counts against your data usage.
But
you're not using AT&T's data when you're doing it.
Right.
You're using your ISP's data.
So if you're on the new 2 gig a month plan,
yep,
you better not be making a bunch of phone calls.
Right.
Nice.
Or if you are, you better get ready for an awful big bill at the end of the month.
Exactly. Well, you know what? They figure the heck with it. It's the business. They can afford it. You're a company.
You know, I mean, the U.S. is getting hosed so bad.
When it comes to data plans on cell phones, we are and a internet. Third world country.
And internet. Both of them.
Yep.
I mean, both of those categories, we definitely stink at. Big time. I mean, the American users are getting hosed so bad, and it's surprisingly, you know, they just sit here like sheep and take it.
Yep. We don't care. Mm-hmm. Other places pay a pittance compared to what we pay and get everything. We pay through the nose or some other bodily orifice, and we get nothing.
Well, that's why I refuse to pay for one of those other stupid...
No, you're a Luddite. That's the reason you're doing it.
Well, because the damn extra $10 a month. I don't need stupid web on the phone. I work on computers most of the day.
Right.
And I'm sorry. My phone, I do not need to get emails, and I do not need the web. I've got my iTouch. If I want to hit some hot spot, like even here, I can use the iTouch. It's free. I don't need to pay an extra freaking $10 a month just to have some corporate...
It's
richer.
Only $120 a year, you know.
I don't care. It's the principle of it.
I know. I mean, that was sarcasm.
Yeah. I mean, they sit there and tell you, well, yeah, if you want the data, we can turn it on that phone. Then fine. Why can't you take the phone that I really want?
And turn it off.
And turn it off.
Exactly.
You can do it one way. You can't do the other. Well, I'm sorry. That's the way of the future. Not my future. Uh-uh.
Of course, it's for all the parents that have kids that run up all these big bills. So for only $10 a month, that's cheap.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Are you getting ready? Are you getting ready?
Yeah.
All right, kiddies. It's that time once again. Get your footy jammies on. Grab a mug of hot cocoa. Sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair. Because I don't think we have to slap him awake. It's Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Oh, yeah. I figure, I'm in the mood. Why not just keep it going?
There we go.
All right. You know, we've talked about this before, and sometimes there are just some great educated idiots out there. And what I'm talking about is I had an individual, and they wanted to have their motherboard replaced because, again, it was one of these e-machines and the capacitors puffed up and leaked all over the place. So they said, well, you know, can you get me another motherboard? Sure, I look on it. You know, I can get you another board, motherboard. And then, you know, put that in, and then I'm going to have to reinstall the software and everything else. It's not going to be an exact match, so I'm going to do it.
Right.
And I gave him the price. Well, that's way too much. I said, well, then, what's my other option? I said, well, you can go get a new machine. No, I don't want to do that. I mean, couldn't you just put the motherboard in for me then and just pay a flat rate there and I'll take care of the operating system? I says, do you realize what you got to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can handle it. Matter of fact, I can get the kid down the street to do it. He can do it for half the price.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
no problem.
Then he'll be back in a couple of months and pay twice as much.
No, 2 days.
2 days.
2 days. We went ahead and we put the motherboard in. got it all set. And, oh, it was a major revision difference. So, but it worked. I mean, we got it up. It's tested. You know, I knew it was going to work and everything else. So she said, fine. No, I'll just go ahead and do it. I said, all right, but, you know, you got to. Yeah, no, no, no. He'll be able to do that. He's a young kid. He can, you know, these young kids, they can figure it all out.
Sure. Youth equals computer ability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she, 2 days later, brought it back and said, how much are you going to charge me to do this? It's halfway done. I said, what I told you the price, it's what the price is. Because what the little kid did was put Windows XP back on it, but it was the original XP, not even Service Pack 2 or 3.
Nice.
I said, I would have put 3 on there, updated your drivers, put everything back there for you. So he hasn't done you any favor. I got to redo it. Oh, this is highway robbery. I says,
take it somewhere else.
I says, then, you know, do what you want to do.
That's a big problem when you bring, when you're coming into the server shop. They, it doesn't matter what else you've done to it before. You know, we have to start from scratch.
But here's the other thing.
And sometimes worse than scratch.
But here's the other main reason that I was a little ticked off, because when I asked her, where's her restore disk and everything else?
Mm-hmm.
And the one for the drivers? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't find that. Well, hello, that means I got to spend the time to turn around and surf on the internet now to find all the updated drivers for that machine. Because you don't have them. So it's like, you know, for your network card and everything else, you know, it's like, holy mackerel, you know, it takes some time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's the interesting part about it, is people don't expect your time to be worth anything.
Or they think that, you know, little Joey down the street there can do it easier and cheaper for them.
We've gotten a couple lately about, well, isn't there an image on the hard drive? Not really. There might have been a restore partition.
Yeah.
But your hard drive is dead.
Yeah.
I can't get to it.
They don't realize it.
Or we've changed the motherboard, and therefore the restore image is useless.
Yeah. Totally worthless. And you got to restart everything fresh.
Right.
So, you know, I mean.
So when you buy a new computer, don't ignore that first message that pops up and says you should back up your operating system. You need to have disks.
Yeah, exactly. All right, kiddies.
You know, that felt good after so long.
Congratulations. That's it. Put your empty cocoa mugs in the sink. Get out of your footy jammies. We've given Uncle Dave a shot. We're done for another week at least. Get those arteries exercised, buddy.
Yeah, really? Felt good.
I'm glad.
Damn.
I'm glad. But I tell you, we have found a lot of people. We have, you know, faculty and staff. We don't certainly charge anybody for anything that's done at work, obviously. I mean, mm-hmm. with work machines, we're paid to do that. We don't charge people extra.
Exactly.
People are often asking us to take care of their home machines, which mostly we don't do, mainly because of legal liabilities. Yeah, we're kind of told by our IT not to. Now, if you want to hire one of my guys separately, that's your business and their business, but we're not going to back it up or fix it.
Yeah.
But I hear from a lot of them that they had some kid up the block or their kid or whatever to do their machine and have completely screwed it up, because most kids are great at installing and playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make them computer gurus.
Or solving issues, you know, in conflicts. Once they come out there, well, I don't know what that's all about. You're going to have to take it somewhere else.
Right. Right, right, right. I did what I felt like doing, and now I don't want to anymore, so the hell with you.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. No, we see it all the time.
And the thing that is, too, is, you know, I mean, when you have issues, and Steve and I have been saying this for the longest time, over 20 years, we're still going to be here.
Right.
Whereas these other kids in that, you know, next week they could be off to college or, you know, off to some other career and forget it.
Right. Or they just, you know, they just... This is outside of my, now, and I get that. I mean, I have worked on my friends' computers as well, and there mm-hmm. comes a point where you say to them, I'm done now. It has to go to a professional mm-hmm. who's got the tools to do the job. It's like, can you take a look at my car? I can look at it, but I can't fix it because yep. I don't have the tools.
Exactly.
And the same is true with computers. It's not always just software, or it's not always software that I have. For example, if I look at somebody's computer, there's a bunch of things I can do. But when it comes to things like, resurrecting your hard drive or changing out a drive or fixing a problem with a card, I don't do those things. You guys do those things because you've got the tools in the shop and
the
inventory and the knowledge to do. Well, I've got the knowledge, but I don't have the tools. I don't have the inventory. I can't, you know, can you replace the whatever? And I'll go, well, no. Well, yes, I can, but it's faster and easier and in the long run cheaper for you to go to somebody like Dave or Steve and get it done than for me to buy retail and do this.
Oh, one other thing I got to mention to folks, that as of July 1st, when you call the shop now.
This will be very exciting.
Yes. It is going to, you're going to hear Samantha, who's our faithful office manager.
And a wonderful human being.
Yeah. Say our name a little different. Because
what? It's not going to be PC, it's not going to be Enright PC Services anymore?
Nope. It has now changed. As of July 1st, it will be Enright and Deary PC Services.
Ah, so Dan's creeping his way into a position of power.
My Dan is now a partner.
Named partner. That's different.
Yes, and we're having the sign redone, everything.
Congratulations, Dan.
Yep, and I mean, he's been like a son to me, you know, as you guys well know. And
did he borrow money and not pay it back?
Nope.
Did he take the car and leave it with an
empty
tank? And he's not much like a son to you at all, is he?
No, as a matter of fact, he wound up buying us another dog.
How nice!
Yeah, he wound up getting a Yorkie poo. Thing's only 8 weeks old.
Every Yorkie has poo.
One of those weird combinations.
Yorkie and poodle. The thing is the cutest little darn thing. It's like a puppet.
How come it's not a Pookie?
I don't know. But he's a cute little thing. He looks more Yorkie
Wookie
than anything else.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to announce as of July 1st, like I say, he will become a partner.
Congratulations, Dan.
And, you know, we've been working together so
long. Is it
long.
D-E-E-R or D-E-A-R?
It's D-E-I-U-R-E.
So I wasn't even close.
It will be Enright and Deary PC Services, Inc.
Excellent. So you'll have new letterhead, and you're going to have to do something about the website. And my golly, there's a lot to that.
There's a lot to that, yeah.
But congratulations. Make Dan do it. He's a partner now. The heck with him, right?
Got to give him something to do.
Exactly. What the heck? All right, we're going to go back to the phones at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. We are talking to Cindy. Where are you calling from, Cindy?
Well, I live in Queensbury, but right now I'm in Lake George.
Oh, my favorite spot. There's one store up by the post office that has good caramel corn.
Ah.
Right across the street from the post office. And frozen bananas on a stick.
I'm going to an arts and crafts festival as soon as I get off the phone.
Seabird will probably be up there.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be very near the post office. In Windows Media Player, somehow I got rid of the where they question, do you really want to delete this? I don't know how I got rid of it, you know, but I want that back. Can I get it back?
Yeah, there was probably a don't ask again checkbox that got checked.
Yeah, and I never intentionally checked that, but I must have moved the mouse over it, and it just, you know.
All right, Cindy, stay on the line. We have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll talk to you. Got it? You there? Hang on the line. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Cindy in Lake George, and you on Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 accepts vehicles. That's right. You can donate your unwanted vehicle to Jazz 90.1, have it picked up, and receive a tax deduction while we get cash to keep the jazz going strong on Jazz 90.1. If you would like to support Jazz 90.1 by donating your old vehicle, call 966-5299. That's 966-5299. Donating your old vehicle, another way to support Jazz 90.1.
Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy. Agape Physical Therapy offers aquatic therapy at their Brockport location, the Gates Chilai Hidden Valley Pool, and the Webster Aquatic Center.
Using the Burdenco method of using water as physical therapy, Agape provides shallow and deep water exercise areas for partial and non-weight-bearing activities. Agape Physical Therapy's experienced staff offers constant care in treating the young and the young at heart, non-athletes and athletes. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Many adults suffer from arthritis. This condition can make toothbrushing a challenge. Fortunately, there are ways to modify your toothbrush to make brushing easier. One option is a powered toothbrush, which may be easier and more effective for you. If you use a manual toothbrush, try adapting it by enlarging the handle with a rubber ball or a bicycle handle, which will make the toothbrush easier to grip. You can also lengthen the handle with a ruler or wooden tongue depressor. Remember to use a soft bristle brush and to replace your toothbrush every 3 to 4 months, or sooner if the bristles are worn. If you have any questions about which toothbrush is best for you, ask your dentist. You're never too old for a healthy and young-looking smile. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez Howell. For more information, visit our website at ada.org.
What do you love about the radio?
I just like the variety, because it can put you in different moods and you don't know what to expect. I think my favorite part is you don't know what to expect. So I always get excited when a song is over, because I'm excited for what the next song is going to be.
New artist Caitlin Crosby loves radio.
Still have my heart. You still have my heart.
Discover Caitlin Crosby and other new artists where it's good to be heard. Radio. Always something new and fresh, always free. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra, presenting Red, White, and Boom, featuring the Marcus Roberts Trio, Saturday, July 3rd at the Constellation Brands Marvin Sands Performing Arts Center. There'll be fireworks after the concert. For more information, you may call 454-2100 or look online at rpo.org.
Hello, this is Paul Conley. Join me early on Monday mornings from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we've got Cindy on the phone.
Hello.
Hi. And you're having a problem turning off delete confirmation.
No, well, she turned it off.
Well, you're going to turn it back on again.
Back. Yeah.
Right.
It's probably somewhere in the options, but since neither Nick nor I are running Windows, we can't actually open that program and find it. But it's got to be somewhere under options to warn when deleting or warn, or there might be something called reset warnings or something like that. We've been Googling around trying to find where that setting is, but it's... It's obscuring us.
Elusive.
Well, it's not in player. Devices, burn, performance library. Library, might it be in there?
It might be, yeah. Or if there's a bigger setting somewhere.
Nope, it's not in there. Network.
Of course, nobody's listening over in the IRC chat, so nobody's helping us there.
Well, so if I can turn it back on, it'll be an option somewhere?
Yeah, it's an option somewhere in the menus, and I'm sorry, I can't find it at the moment. But it should be, it's probably somewhere in the options menu, and I apologize.
Okay. Give me a place to look.
All right,
I didn't know where to look.
Give it
that
a
would
shot
be the place.
Let us know.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, and if anyone knows, we'll post it somewhere.
Yeah. Keep listening because somebody may actually be paying attention and call in and let us know where that would be. We often get help from the IRC chat, but certainly nobody at the moment, so... Our next caller is Brian. Where are you calling from, Brian?
Hilton.
And what can we do for you?
Seems like the processor on my laptop is running overtime. like, even when, like, say I go to a website, it would normally might warm up, and then it just, the fan never shuts off. The processor always seems very hot. If I do video, it gets even hotter. It wasn't always like that.
How old is the computer?
Three years old.
Yeah, it might be dust and clogging the vents.
Yeah, have you checked the, opened it up and see, make sure the fans are all working?
It's moving air if I put my hand in front of, you
That's
know,
not my question.
Yeah, is it moving enough air?
Yeah, because see, you're seeing the fans on the outside. Inside, there is usually a fan on the CPU. If you've got a video card, there's a fan in the video card. And those
On a laptop?
Yes, even on a laptop.
Okay.
But it's harder to open when it's a laptop.
Yeah.
But that's usually what happens, is over time, dust gets in there and starts clogging things up. And so it's not moving as much air as it should.
Mm-hmm.
We've also seen issues where the thermal paste has gotten brittle between the CPU.
Dried up, like nobody's
and
business.
It needs to be reapplied.
Okay.
You can go into your process monitor and see what processors are running and make sure there isn't some unusual process running that might be a
If you find
malware.
A processor two or three taking 100% of your CPU, then dance the security tango to make sure your machine is cleaned out. See if those go away, because what often happens is something will take over your machine and be running at full tilt. And, of course, the faster your machine runs, the hotter it will get.
Sure. All right. So the easiest way would take it to Enright PC.
That would be the easiest way. Enright and Deary PC.
Yep.
As of July 1st.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Right. Oh, and you're going to have to give us the new logo to put up on the website.
Yeah, we're in the midst of changing that all.
All righty.
Yeah. Matter of fact, like you say, you don't realize how much is involved until you go to do it.
Right.
And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Letterhead. But, you know, the van's not changing. I'm not.
Yeah, you're done with that. You're done with
the van's staying the way it is. We're not crossing it out and rewriting it.
Yeah, right.
Too expensive.
But when you get the next van, there you go.
If I don't retire by then.
If those of you still running Windows XP, pay attention. According to reports published Tuesday, 3 out of 4 companies will soon face more security risks because they continue to run the soon-to-be-retired Windows XP Service Pack 2. Toronto-based SoftChoice Corporation reports that 77% of the organizations it surveyed are running Windows XP SP2 on 10% or more of their PCs. And as far as our listeners go, I think it's more like 80%. Nearly 46% of the 28,000 businesses, business computers SoftChoice analyzed rely on it. An average 36% of the PCs in every organization run SP2. This is a red alert, said Dean Williams, Service Development Manager at SoftChoice. This isn't something you can safely ignore like you might have done before. Williams was referring to the impending end of support deadline that Microsoft Corporation has set for Windows XP Service Pack 2, a service pack that debuted in the fall of 2004. Dave is wearing underwear older than that. After July 13th, Microsoft will stop issuing security updates for Service Pack 2, a move that has users scrambling to update to Service Pack 3, which will be supported until April of 2014. So if you are running Windows XP Service Pack 2, and you can tell that by going into Start, right-click on Computers, select Properties, and read that first screen. It will tell you what Service Pack you're on. If you are still running Service Pack 2 or, God forbid, Service Pack 1 or, worse, no Service Pack, then you need to get on Service Pack 3 immediately, because otherwise you will stop getting security updates. And if you thought you were vulnerable to viruses and malware now, wait until July 13th. You seriously need to update yourself to Service Pack 3 now, if not sooner. So are you still running Service Pack 2 or lower? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. And toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
You know, I was thinking, next weekend is 4th of July.
It is. We should have rum balls.
No, we should have Rob come down and do a cookout. Have him cook us lunch outside. barbecue.
That's an excellent idea. That's an excellent idea, Rob.
I mean, you know, I mean.
See how flash that chat window opens.
Yeah, right. No, I think he's. No, I don't think he's going to be here. He's on yet another cruise. It's all he does is take cruises. 8 days out of 10, he's on a cruise.
That's a wild way to describe his job.
No, this is this is not the job.
Cruise night at WGMC.
This is the cruise, exactly.
Yeah, cruise I mean, that would be kind of neat, though. Have a barbecue outside. He could sit there and barbecue, you know, let's see, even hot hamburgers or Italian
sausage.
Yeah,
I think he's not here. So well, who's going to stop us from doing it, then?
Laurel Ann, we need to talk. Give me a call, sweetie.
All right, so
we'll set something up. The boss is out of town.
But he won't know. He won't know.
It's dark and rainy today. See, what's next weekend going to look like?
Yep. And that's the beauty of the internet.
This is Rochester.
Well, no, it doesn't bother checking now because it'll change by next weekend.
Yeah, I don't know why you bother. Exactly right. Exactly right. All right, I'm dipping into the mailbag here.
Pretty interesting. We could have one heck of a party.
Yeah, we could.
Use his office.
Okay, this is a solicitation. No, thank you. Please, why are you soliciting us? That's not the brightest thing. You're gonna get. Oh, check this out.
See, I just saw the name and I just quick printed him.
Joshua from Porto Novo, Santo Antão, Cape Verde, West Africa.
Ooh.
Writes.
Should I bring him up my vuvuzela?
Vuvuzela?
Yeah, vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela. Vuvuzela. Wait, there's an app for that.
There's an app for that, yeah.
And I have it. Hold on.
We don't know if that's big in West Africa. We know it's big in South Africa. Have you been watching the World Cup? Have you heard this whole mess?
No, I saw the U.S. win it in the last 4 minutes. I mean, we were watching the whole game down in the shop.
Apparently, several of the streaming programs, I think Roku and what's the other one, Slingbox, have created filters so that you can watch World
ESPN
Cup.
ESPN3 has
ESPN,
created
and
filter,
it filters out, 100,000 people blowing a vuvuzela while the game is playing?
Well, I mean, we were watching that game, but it was a spectacular game in the U.S. going against, I believe it was Algeria. And they, like I say, it was down to the last 4 minutes, 4 minutes of the game, and they popped it in. And oh, like I said, it was a storybook ending. You know, they got to do it. They got to do it. As they say, but I don't know. The pressure's on. And sure enough, they worked it up the field and bam, plowed that thing in. 1-0. Yes.
They're on it 2 again today.
Yep. Yep.
The problem is he's currently living in Africa with the Peace Corps as an IT volunteer. I have always found your security tangle a valuable tool. Thank you very much. But I have not been able to access the site from here. I wanted to direct fellow volunteers to it, but what I ended up doing was having my dad save the page. Then I formatted it into a Google group post. Obviously, this is difficult to update when you guys make changes. Was this done on purpose? If not, can you look into fixing it? Thanks, your loyal fan, Josh. Josh, as far as I know, no, there's no... I'm certainly not blocking it.
No.
Certainly our ISP shouldn't be blocking it. I'll look into it, but I've never seen or heard this before. But I will save this one, and I will definitely look into it for you. There's no question of that.
I wonder if it's his ISP.
Well, it could
be. Because it's a large file. It's 50 meg media file. It's large for audio.
No, he's looking at the Security Tango.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's trying to get this to the Security Tango site, and it seems to be...
blocking him. So it's got to be at his end.
It's got to be because we're not doing it at our end. But I'll still look into it, Josh. I may not be able to do anything about it because if it's not at our end, I have no control over it. But I will look into it.
Mm-hmm. Give it a shot.
It's interesting. So this guy, one more time here. Josh is in, probably now anybody who's listening knows exactly who I'm talking about because after all,
how many
Joshes would be down there? Porto Novo, Santo Antão, Cape Verde, West Africa. How cool is that?
That is wild. Well, that's right up there with that one gentleman that
and he's
called
in the Peace
time
Corps.
From China.
He's a volunteer in the Peace Corps. God bless you, Josh.
Yes.
There is a special corner of heaven for people like you. There's no question to that. There is no question to that. So, and he's an IT volunteer. Had I known, I would have gone. But now I do know, but I have a daughter going to college.
You got to keep working.
So I'll stay.
Send her.
I'll say you can send her, but I can't go. She doesn't do IT. She's going to college to be an actress. Her majors will be theater and art history. So she's doing what both
double major.
Both what her mother and I did in college. I was a theater major. In fact, I graduated with a bachelor's in theater. And my wife graduated with a bachelor's in art history. So our daughter is continuing both
the legacy.
Our traditions. Being smarter, twice as smart as the two of us, as smart at least as the two of us put together. She's doing both. And she's going to a great college, and I'm very, very, very excited for her. It's going to be hard becoming that empty nester. I get that. But even so, it's going to be wonderful.
Stay tuned, folks. You thought driving was a drama, and here in Soundbites, the first day that...
Yeah, this is the next step. Is the worst part is now she likes driving. I really like driving, Dad. Oh, shut up. I do not want to.
I saw your daughter at the Jazz Fest.
I do not.
With her her friend...
I don't know which group she went with.
Young lady, you've talked about one of her best friends.
Zoe?
No, I don't think it was Zoe.
It could have been any one of a dozen.
Yeah, but anyways, I've heard you mention this young lady before, and the minute she said she introduced her.
Kate?
Nope.
Okay, I don't know.
But anyways.
I'm just trying to think of who her best friends are, but which one would have been going to the Jazz Festival.
Yeah, she was there and enjoying a lot of the great jazz, as there was the whole week. I mean, over 160,000 folks showed up during that week.
It's one of the premier events in Rochester.
Matter of fact,
really,
we even, as Soundbites usually does, Mr. Rob Linton was a little doubtful as we had an individual come up and say, yeah, I'm going to sign up. He says, tell you what, right now I got to go down. My daughter's playing the band. I'll be right back. Sure enough, half hour later, he comes back down, has his form all filled out, turned to Rob and said, here's my form. Here's the money. I'm a Soundbites listener.
God love
him. Supporter.
God love you, sir. That's what we like to hear. This is how, and I hate to be grubby about it, but this is how we know that people really, truly want us here. They support the station to keep us all here. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 40 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Jazz 90.1 appreciates your support through membership. But did you know you can support Jazz 90.1 in other ways as well? For example, by donating your old vehicle. When you donate your old vehicle to Jazz 90.1, we receive cash and you get the tax deduction. We even come pick it up. To find out more, call 966-5299. When the time comes to change vehicles, think of Jazz 90.1 and call 966-5299.
Join us on Sundays 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 for Big Road Blues, an exploration of vintage blues spanning the 1920s through the 1970s. Tune in to Big Road Blues with host Jeff Harris as he digs deep into blues history, spotlighting blues legends and forgotten blues heroes. Along the way, he'll fill you in on the stories and history behind the music. That's Big Road Blues every Sunday 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 with your host, Jeff Harris.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Right now, America is being counted in the 2010 census. When a census taker comes to your door, they will ask you the 10 easy questions that appear on the 2010 census form. By answering the questions, your residents will be counted, and you'll be helping your community get its fair share of $400 billion in federal funds. Your participation in the 2010 census is vital and required by law.
For more information, visit 2010census.gov.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno inviting you to join me every Sunday afternoon at 3:30 for my new show, Sinatra and Company.
I have got you under my skin.
I'll feature the music of Frank Sinatra as well as those with whom Frank worked and played. Artists like Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Count Basie, Rosemary Clooney, and many more. So join in the fun with Sinatra and Company every Sunday afternoon at 3:30 right here on Jazz 90.1.
I would sacrifice anything.
Hi, this is Phil Dodd. Please join me weekdays from noon to 3 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We seem to have gotten away from the idea of people calling in and telling us which hand they hold their phone in. And I noticed we've heard from no
all iPhone lefties. People. All lefties.
No, yeah, they hold their phone in their left hand, yeah. Which means they're right-handed people.
Yep.
SanDisk on Wednesday announced a secure digital card, those little SD cards, that can store data for 100 years, but can only be written to once. It's like a DVD-R or CD-R. The worm, write once, read many card, is tamper-proof and data cannot be altered or deleted, SanDisk said in a statement. The card is designed for long-time preservation of crucial data like legal documents, medical files, and forensic evidence, SanDisk said. The media comes with a capacity of only 1 gigabyte. SanDisk determined the media's 100-year data retention lifespan based on internal tests conducted at normal room temperatures. To draw comparisons, the card is like DVD write only media, but much smaller and with a much longer lifespan unless you're using something like the KPM Media Codec Gold preservation discs. SD cards typically slot into portable devices like digital cameras and mobile phones to store and move images, video, or other data. The worm works like a conventional SD media, but only with compatible devices. The company said it is shipping the media in volume to the Japanese police force to archive images and an alternative to film. The company is working with a number of consumer electronic companies, including camera vendors, to support the medium. The medium is available worldwide through resellers. SanDisk did not comment on pricing. So our question to you, how do you preserve your precious memories? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And, of course, that becomes a problem. Everybody does everything digitally now. You have voice recordings that are digital. You have pictures that are digital. You have movies that are digital. And how do you guarantee that the next generation will be able to see or hear or watch those media?
Yeah, you have to replace all your media every 2 or 3 years when the next media comes out.
Well, and how many people are going to remember to do that?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's still the National Archives are running into the issue. They're trying to convert all their 9-track tape into something modern.
Yep.
Remember when 9-track tape was big?
I do.
You're old.
I remember when 8-track tapes were big, as a matter of fact. But that's very old, and I am old. And that's and I know that's I've still got stuff on tape that I need to take to somewhere and get them to turn it into bits.
Do it soon.
My sister-in-law brought over, she had a bunch of old 35-millimeter movies from her grandfather and had them all put onto DVD.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sat around the other day just sort of on Father's Day just watching them. And, of course, I don't know most of those people, and I'm... you know, until my wife showed up as a, you know, baby. Is that a, no, that's nothing.
Misfire.
Dave, you got to stop falling asleep banging your head on the console.
I had a friend that did that with a pile
fell asleep and banged his head on a console?
With a pile of Grandpa's old 8mm tapes. And apparently Grandpa had some stag films in that pile. And the family's all sitting around watching all these tapes from, you know, way back when, and holy cow.
But what was interesting was...
There was a smile on Grandpa's face.
Yeah, exactly. What was interesting was that my sister and my sister-in-law, my wife and my sister-in-law, sat there and went, oh, remember that vase? Oh, remember that table? We've still got... Look, Amelia, look, that's that table right there. Third generation of the family to own that table. Yep. You know, and that sort of thing. So it was really... I mean, it was like, oh, look, there's your great aunt twice removed. Yeah, yeah, but look at the chair she's sitting on. We remember that chair was in our house when we were kids. So for
But those are things that, you know, memories are all about.
That's what memories are all about. It's exactly right. And it was a lovely thing to see. And those are the kind of memories that people want to preserve. But if you put them on just the DVD, that DVD is guaranteed to last 3 years, five years. Again, if you get the KPM Kodak Gold preservation DVD, it's, they say 100 years. And now this this SanDisk SD card is 100 years. And those are the kind of things that you really want to put your memories on, assuming you think that 100 years from now somebody will be able to read them.
You got to keep a player around, too.
Right.
Well, that's one of the things I'm in.
I have a room full of VCR tapes, VHS tapes, that I might as well just create a bonfire. Maybe that's what we can cook on next week. I know you don't burn plastic. I get it. It's a joke. Get over it. We look forward to your emails and letters.
I have seen some DVD recorders that still have VHS in it, so you can convert your DVD to VHS.
Right.
Well, that's one of the things, though, that I've got to do and get that noted. As you well know, I did a dollhouse for my granddaughter.
Right.
And I've got pictures of the whole process from when I first started it to where I had to cut it down 6 inches because it wasn't going to fit up the stairwell. It was a little, there was a 30-inch doorway to get up through when I was building it, and I had it 36 inches wide. So 6 inches had to come off, and it just made it out the doorway with the frame and everything off. But I've got it literally noted throughout the whole task of building the house and everything else that, you know, I want to memorize for the kids and put some voice to it.
Ion makes one. Ion that makes
of course they do.
They make the USB turntable so you can convert your albums, your record albums into digital. They they've got a VCR to PC box for about $100 to convert your VHS.
Yeah.
See, most of you, if you have a VHS player, you can record it with the software on your computer. That's annoying and tedious, and it's real time.
Right.
So for every 6 hour VHS you have, it'll take 6 hours to convert.
Right. All right, our next caller is Ed. Where are you calling from, Ed?
Rochester.
And what can we do for you?
Well, you had a lady on earlier that was asking how to get her requester back for deleting her files on her media player.
Yes, absolutely. That was Cindy.
Yes.
Up at Lake George.
I picked it up, and basically it was on my help on Vista, and you got to go to the library tab. There's a down arrow. Then you go to the options, and let me see. Then you go to the library tab, and there's a delete files from computer when deleted from library checkbox, and you have to clear it.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much,
Ed. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That is indeed my favorite part of this show when our listeners actually call
that's
in.
That's what it's all about.
Have an answer for us. I really appreciate that, Ed. Thanks. So, Cindy, I know you're still listening because why wouldn't you be? There's your answer. Excellent. And, of course, if you didn't manage to write all that down, Steve records the show every week and we'll have it up on
the podcast.
The podcast soon, if not shortly. that's excellent. My favorite part of the show. All right, let's take one more email question. This is Cindy. What? This is a different Cindy. This is the same Cindy. It's the same question.
Same Cindy, same
question.
All
right, Cindy. That's it. No more questions for Cindy today. It's the same question from the same person. Uh-oh, Kelly from Pittsburgh writes, help, my son was using my administrator account and now I am blocked from the internet. I receive a large red notice every time I try to go onto a site. Attention, your web page request has been canceled. This website refused your connection and it was reported as a malicious request. I have run my Norton full system scan, tried securitytango.com, but I cannot get to the site as administrator because I am blocked. I'm not computer savvy. Is this too big of a problem for me to handle, or should I take it in? Thanks kindly for any advice. Kelly, this is not about computers. This is about parenting. You need to get him to give you back the administrator account. I don't mean to be rude about this, but we can't help you with that. That's a parenting issue, not a computer issue. And I'm sorry, but honestly, seriously, you're the adult. Be the adult. Be the parent. Make sure you get your machine back. And then don't give him the administrator account. All right. I think we have time.
It could have been she got up away from the computer, logged into her account, and he ran and sat down.
It's certainly possible, but even so, he still has to get her to give it to him.
Yep.
Our next caller is Mike. Where are you calling from, Mike?
Calling from Greece.
And what can we do for you?
Okay. I've been a Mac user since 84, but I can't seem to get an answer from anybody that works at Mac. And I'm trying to find out whether either the Mac machine, the new Mac machine, or any Windows machine can cut a CD at 2496K, which is, I believe, is being called CDI. It's better than Redbook, which was 1648.
And yeah, the standard is 1648. That would depend on the software you're using and nothing to do with the computer you're using it on. And Toast is the common burning software for the Mac. Let me see if I can find it in there. The audio card that is in the computer is also an issue whether it can process that. But you should be able to build an audio file to burn even if the computer can't play it.
Disk Juggler? Is that a Mac program?
It is a Mac copy program that I remember by that name.
I don't think that's a Mac program. I mean, I can buy a standalone CD player for about $500 that will do that.
Liquid CDI will boot. Liquid CD will boot CDI images. And Disk Juggler burns them.
This would be for music.
Hey, I'm looking through Toast's feature list. Don't play a video. I'm trying to look through Toast's feature list, but it wants to play me a video of the features.
Naturally.
Yeah.
CDI rip in the Mac Pack applications folder. Mac Pack applications. CDI rip. So and apparently it also burns them.
I'm sorry, did you say it can do it?
That's what it says.
On the Mac.
That's what it says.
Marvelous.
Give it a look on the net anyway.
Yeah, I will. Okay, I've been trying to find it.
There you go.
Okay, thanks a lot, and thanks for your show. It's great.
Thank you.
Need more Mac questions, though.
Yeah, well, people have to call them in. We just take the questions that are called in.
Right.
All right, we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Thanks to all of you who called in. If you didn't call in, I don't know why not. It's the only way we're going to get to answer your questions on the air. And, of course, we will be back here next week at noon on the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on the truly great, member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you next week. George is up next, and he's going to do a brilliant job. As always, why do I even bother to say that he's great?
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.